Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, because you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, it is of your mercy that we are not consumed. And we thank you. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord, because you have given us favor on all sides. Even as it is today that we are here alive. And you have taken of yours and shown to us. And we give you the praise and give you the glory. Now, Lord Jesus, let your name be glorified even once again. Even as you have glorified it before. Glorify it again, even in the word of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for the Lord and say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to share this, the doctrine of Christ. I want to share that with us. And especially for the benefit. And I want all the young people, you pay attention to this. Because some young people are confused. I know most of the older folks, they understand this and so on. But some of the young people, they are confused. So you pay attention to this teaching about the doctrine of Christ. Amen? Amen, amen folks? Amen. The doctrine of Christ. And I'm going to answer some questions, which I will pose myself, of some scriptures here in the Bible that, people don't understand and so forth like that. So, but let's start here in the book of 2 John, chapter 1. This is the epistle of John. Chapter 1. There's only one chapter, I believe, in that epistle. But let me read verse 9. He says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, so what exactly is the doctrine of Christ? So now the doctrine of Christ is not to be argued or whatever. It comes by revelation. Now, we cannot, and it's wonderful for us to search. That's great. In fact, the Bible says we should search. Jesus said it himself. John 5:39 said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are there that testify of me." And in another place we are told in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter." So, we're supposed to search the scriptures and so forth. But I tell you, you cannot by searching find out the Almighty. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We must search. We must do all we can. We must study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing word of truth. But you still cannot by searching find out the Almighty. He must reveal himself to you. No man knows, who the Father is or the Son. And likewise, and whosoever he will reveal him. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So let's start here and try to understand the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. In the book of John, chapter 1. Now, this one is the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I want you young people to pay attention to this, because some of you are confused sometimes. In the beginning was the Word. This is John chapter 1 and verse 1. "And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made." Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, if we go to Genesis chapter 1. And read what it says in verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Praise the Lord. And you know the account of Genesis. And God said in verse 3, "Let there be light," and there was light. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And God said in verse 6, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters," and it was so. And God said in verse 9, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place," and it was so. And so on and so forth. And God said, and God said, and God said. So we see that God created the heaven and the earth. The very first verse in this Bible. So he lays it out just like that. And in this Genesis, you read the rest of the chapter, Throughout all those 6 days, God said this, God said that, and God said that. And God did whatever he did to create the heavens and the earth and man and everything else. You know, and in John chapter 1, we are told that, you know, it is the Word that created all things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For by him were all things made, and without him was nothing made. Now, all you have to do, young folks, is a little arithmetic. You know, if God created all things, and if we are told that nothing was made without the Word, and by him was all things made, that makes the Word the very God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is so plain in the scriptures. However, it is not exactly plain unless the Lord gives it to you. Because you cannot receive anything except be given to you from above. Praise the Lord. So we settle that right there. But also look in verse 14 of John chapter 1. And the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see that our Word, which was in the beginning with God, and which was God, was made flesh. Well, you say, by him were all things made? Absolutely. Colossians chapter 1. Let's read from verses 15 to 18. And see where that the scripture says that he made all these things, and even explains it deeper. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Talking about Christ being in the image of the invisible God. And we're going to talk about that, you know, in a minute. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He's a firstborn of every creature. Praise the Lord. Now listen to the best part of it. And he said, for by him, verse 16, were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, whether they be visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Who are we talking about here? We are talking about Christ. You know, you can read about it, you know, starting from verse 13. It says, God delivered us from power of darkness and translated to the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, who is the image of the invisible. So it's talking about Christ. It's talking about Christ. And we're talking about the doctrine of Christ right now. Now, this Christ is the one that made all things. Praise the Lord. This is the scripture. You don't need to, you know, worry about what you've learned before, what somebody said before, or what somebody argues. You know, this is what the scripture says. And it is right here. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning. And he's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, hallelujah,
amen,
he might have the preeminence. Now that is the doctrine of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he says, well, if any man come to you not having this doctrine, don't even bear him. You know, that's deep. Don't even wish him Godspeed. You know, just let him go his way. Because this is the doctrine of Christ. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, you say, well, if that is the doctrine of Christ, you know, and Christ is the one that made all these things, you know, so I'm going to show you here, you know, some arguments that people make about, you know, who God is or who Christ is and so forth, you know. And I'm going to also even tell you the origin of this so-called doctrine of Trinity. That's not the doctrine of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I can tell you where it came from, you know. So that was not, it was never in the early church. It wasn't until the 4th century. Constantine, the Roman Empire, the Nicene Council, and all of the things trying to gain popularity, you know, for himself and so forth, trying to bring the people together, gain popularity for himself, you know, ordering some things and so forth, and everybody coming together and saying all kinds of things, coming up with all, I don't know where they came up with. Now remember, at that time, the voice of the real elect was not being heard because they were in persecution. They were already beat down. They were hidden. They were in different places and so forth. So it wasn't really the people of God that came together to make all those decrees that they make in the Nicene Council over there in the 300s. But, you know, and all this doctrine about Trinity and so forth came from there. You know, and then the people say, well, and then I ask you the question. I mean, how many gods really are there? And how many gods will we see in heaven? Let me just ask it. Just lay it right straight out there. Now, there's on the one hand, the people, the oneness people that say, well, there's one God. And then there is, on the other hand, some people say, well, yeah, there is one God, but he is really three persons. I mean, that's the Trinity, you know, right there, in case you are wondering. You know, and then, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. But to me, you know, if you are three different persons, then you are three different persons.
That's right.
And then you are three different gods. Just no way you can say it. You know, so, but hear, O Israel.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. I want everybody to turn to it because that is the Shema. That is where the word of God began to be given to them. Say, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord.
Amen.
Not three Lords. You know, the way they describe it is that God the Father is the Lord. God the Son is Lord. And God the Holy Ghost is Lord. That makes three Lords. But hear, O Israel. And Jesus himself, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He went right back to this one. Hear, O Israel. The Lord thy God is one Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, folks, you cannot slice God up and feed him to a Jew.
Yes.
Every real Jew believes that there is one God.
Yes.
Right here from this scripture. And not only in this scripture, not only did he declare it, he wanted to make sure that it is passed throughout the generations.
Yes.
So let's read it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's read it beginning at verse 4. Yeah, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And he told him, you know, told them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, these words which I command thee this day. Now, you listen to this, folks. And even anybody else that may know this truth, God's going to reveal something to you. You know, these words that I command you this day shall be in thine heart. Amen. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children concerning the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house concerning the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up that the Lord thy God is one Lord.
Amen.
These words shall not depart from you.
Amen.
Amen. You will bind them as a sign upon thy hand.
Amen.
You will put it as frontlets between your eyes that the Lord our God is one Lord.
Amen.
You will do it. Don't let it depart from you. But, you know, are people really doing that? And you will write it upon the post of your house.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will put it upon your gates.
Amen.
You will do all of these things. You will even tell it to your children. And it shall be that when the Lord thy God had done all of these things and so forth, you know, you will always remember these words and put it right out there, not only in your own heart, but also before your children. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
That the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, what about Genesis 1:26 then? If the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, this is the scripture that even the people that believe in the oneness of the Godhead are afraid to explain. Or maybe they don't understand. So let's see what the scripture says. In Genesis 1:26. So everybody listen to this. No matter what you have believed before, you listen to this. And God said, let us make man in our image. You cannot deny the fact that he said let us. There's no way you can deny it. Did he say it or not?
He said it.
Let us make man in our image. image. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and all of these things and so forth. So this is where the argument starts. You say, well, us means that it's more than one person. Absolutely. But not exactly the way that they think it. You know, I mean, us means is the absolutely I mean there is plural. Not necessarily that it's more than one person, but it's plural. You know, but let's see exactly what it is. Remember that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Amen? That's right. So the Word was already with God. And then remember also that in the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. I want you to turn to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And see what it talks about Christ. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth, hallelujah, have been from of old and from everlasting. Christ didn't just shut up shop when Mary got pregnant. His goings forth have been from old. In fact, we are told in the book of Revelation chapter 13, you know, I believe verse 8 and so forth, it said, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So you think the lamb was there when God said, let us or not? Are you still with me, folks? If the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and this let us make man in our image and so forth was only 6,000 years ago, then the lamb was already there.
Right.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And also, don't think that the Lord was speaking to angels. No, he wasn't. Because angels are not in the image of God. There is no scripture that tells us that God made angels in his image. In fact, let me read it to you here. In the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews. Because some people that try to explain the scripture and try to, you know, help God explain it and so on, they say, well, perhaps maybe he was talking to angels and this and that. No. Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the past by the fathers, to the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We have settled that one. Now, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So the only person that God could have been talking to that was in his image was his Son. Praise the Lord. Angels were not in his image. He could not have been talking to angels. That's right. You say, oh, are you contradicting your? No, absolutely not. The Lamb was slain before the world began. And his goings forth have been from of old. Hallelujah. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me.
Amen.
God prepared him that body, you know, and so forth like that. You know, now, you say, well, maybe that is so, and maybe it is not so. Well, listen to verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 1. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son? So angels are not sons of God. You know, thou art my Son. No, angels are not sons of God. People call them sons of God because they don't know what to call them. They just, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar. I say, well, think we throw three people into this and so forth. You know, why do we see, you know, the one like the Son of God? It might have been an angel. It could have been, you know, in the form of Christ, but it could also be an angel. But, you know, they didn't know what to call these people in those days. Just say, Son of God, you know, or Son of this and that. So, but angels are not sons of God, because God said it right here. Not anyone at any time said to any of them that they are the Son of God, or this they have I begotten thee. He never said that to any angel. Verse 5, you know. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. So we see clearly here that this scripture dismisses the fact that angels are sons of God. Just dismiss it altogether. So they are not. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now listen to this also. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, he says, still talking about Christ, how he came, in as much from verse 14, he said, you know, let me read from verse 13. I and the children that God has given me, you know, he said, behold, I and the children. Christ talking. For then as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So we know that he was talking about Christ. And deliver them who through fear of death and so forth were all at that time subject to bondage. For verily, notice this, this is where I'm going. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So we see clearly here that angels were not in the image of God. Christ did not come in the image of angels and so forth. But what was this saying? What was this image? Well, you know, Jesus said it himself, John chapter 4. When he was talking to the woman, he said, God is spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they that worship him must do what? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe that's John chapter 4 and verse 24. Let me read that quickly. God is spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they that worship him must worship him, you see, you know, in truth and so forth like that. So, you know, God, you know, the only way Christ said it, that look, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten has declared him. You know, the only way, you know, the only way for us to see the God, because in those days, you know, it was just spirit form. Even Moses wanted to see the Lord so bad, you know, in Exodus 34. He prayed about it and so forth. The Lord said, well, you know, I'm going to go before you and so forth, but I'll just show you my back part. You know, so we know all that story. But we see here that Christ, the only begotten, has declared him. And he came and declared him. So, you know, if you are wondering, well, how does Genesis 1:26 line up with the oneness of the Godhead? Well, it does exactly, because the goings forth of the Son have been from of old. You know, so he was right there. You know, even in the mind of God, the word of God, Jesus said, I came forth and proceeded out of God. You know, he was already there with God and he was God. Praise the Lord. The word was made flesh. Now, until the word was made flesh, we never saw him in flesh form. Praise the Lord. Occasionally, you know, he maybe appeared in the Old Testament if he wanted to, you know. I mean, we see some figure and some shadows of him in Melchizedek. We see sometime when he visited Abraham when he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, and so forth. But, you know, it was all various appearances and so forth. But until the Lord Jesus came, and before then, nobody really, you know, called him Father too much. But, you know, Jesus began to introduce that relationship. And he used to tell them, our Heavenly Father, when you pray, just like we read today, when we pray, say, our Heavenly Father. So Jesus began to show them that relationship. No, our Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, concerning the oneness of God, praise ye the name of the Lord. Concerning the oneness of God, the fact that the Son was there in the beginning and so forth doesn't change anything, that the Lord our God is one Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And we will see the rest of it here in the scripture. But before I go any further, let me take you to how God used to represent himself to the people of God in the Old Testament. I have about 33 scriptures that I wrote down, but I won't read them all, that declare this phrase, the Holy One of Israel. Are you still with me, folks? So let's read a few of them. I'll just read a few of them. Let us start from 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 22, declares him as the Holy One of Israel. Psalms 71 and verse 22 declares him as the Holy One of Israel. I'll just go through this quickly. Psalm 78 and verse 41 declares him as the Holy One of Israel. Also Psalm 89, if you can catch up with me and show those scriptures as I'm saying it, that would be great. Psalm 89 and verse 18 also declares him as the Holy One of Israel. Praise the Lord. And in the book of Isaiah, There's about 30 different places where it talks about Holy One of Israel. Let me just read a few. Isaiah chapter 43. And let's read verses 3, 14, and 15. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thee, and so forth. Now, why does God, you know, emphasize this Holy One of Israel all the time? Because he, the Lord our God, is one Lord. Amen. Are you still with me, folks? He could have said, thus said the Lord thy God, the Holy Three of Israel. But he didn't say that. And you will never find that in any scripture. How many of you can still praise the Lord? That's right. It's the Holy One of Israel. That one is capital. There's only one God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 43, I gave you that. Isaiah 45, 11. Isaiah 48, 17. Even Ezekiel 39, verse 7. All these scriptures and many more. If you want the rest of them, I'll give it to you after the service. About 35 that I have written down. Talk about the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. So we know that. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, the scripture says, there be many that are called gods, small g, whether in earth or in heaven, as there be many gods and lords many. Next verse. But unto us, there is but one God. And that's a capital G. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's the Father of, you know, he's our Father and so forth. By him are all things and we are in him. And there is one Lord Jesus Christ by whom are all things and we by him. And this is where people get confused. You know, you say, well, you know, the Father, there are many scriptures that talk about the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's also many scriptures that talk about the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but you have to take all scriptures together. You can't just take one scripture and run off with it. You have to take all scriptures together. Unto us there is but one God. Hallelujah. Amen. And some people call his name Jehovah. Some people call him Yahweh. You know, I'm not a Jew. I don't have to call him Yahweh. As far as I know, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you want to call him Yahweh, you want to call him Jehovah, you know, that's your business. Some people call him Jesus. Some people, even in Nigeria, we call him different names. Some people say Jesus. Some people say Jesus. Right? Because it's different language, you know. So, I know he's Jehovah, and I know he's Yahweh, but he's also the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, you say, why is that so? Well, let's go down through here and see it very clearly. You know, so, you know, if there is one Lord, let's dwell on this subject of one Lord for a minute. You know, and the argument that I will pose is this. If Jesus Christ is Lord, and God, the Father, definitely, if he, you know, has to be the Lord. I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, he's Lord because he's God, the Father, is the Lord. God, the Son, as they put it, is the Lord. And God, the Holy Spirit, is the Lord, as they put it. And that's three Lords. But there is only one Lord. So how do we know that there is only one Lord? Well, Jesus himself, you know, when people called him Lord and Master, he did, you know, he said, look, in John chapter 13, and verse 13. In John chapter 13, the Bible said, now Jesus, knowing all things, you know, and he knew that his time was close and so forth. After he was eating some food with his disciples, he decided to take a towel and do some things and wash their feet and so forth. And when he came to Peter, you know, he said many things and so on, you know, and then Peter, you know, didn't want him to wash his feet. You know the story. But here, Jesus said, look, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if I being your Lord and Master, I've washed your feet, you ought to also wash the feet off. But the point is that this, Jesus told them that, look, you call me Lord, you call me Master, you say, well, because so I am. Now, if Jesus is Lord, and we know that the Lord our God is one Lord, then that makes him the Lord our God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know how else you can put it. It's as simple as that. But let's go further and see. You know, one time after Jesus was resurrected, the disciples, he began to show himself to the disciples and everybody and all that. You know, but one time, Doubting Thomas, as they call him, wasn't there when he came. So he said, well, I'm not going to believe and all that until I see. So while Jesus, he heard that, you know, so he came back one time and showed himself. And he said, Thomas, you know, put your hands over here and feel my, you know, the what you wanted to feel and so forth. And listen to what Thomas said. John chapter 20 and verse 28. You know, Thomas said, after he felt his hands, let's read it from verse 27. Reach thither your finger and to my hands and reach and see and not so forth. And be not faithless, but believing. Because Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I touch him to feel that he really resurrected. So after Jesus showed him, listen to the answer of Thomas in verse 28 of John 20. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus never rebuked him. You know, he didn't say, why do you call me God? My Lord and my God. Now, I wish everybody in here today would look at Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. Praise the name of the Lord. Because that is the eternal Godhead wrapped up in one right there. You know, that Jehovah, you know, whatever name he revealed himself in the Old Testament, revealed himself in that little child, came right down. And we're going to show you some other scriptures. So we see that he was called Lord and God. And many scriptures in Isaiah say, look, even the ones we read, I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, and beside me there is no Savior. Amen. So we know that Jesus is the Savior. Beside me there is no Savior. I am the Lord thy God, and there is none else. Praise ye the name of the Lord. For in him, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Put that scripture up. Thank you. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You cannot find the Godness, the Godhead anywhere else but bodily inside Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, one time in the book of John chapter 14, Jesus was telling them, look, you know, in my Father's house, many mansions and so forth. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will do this, I will do that, and so forth. So finally, Philip, you know, I'm pretty sure many of them wanted to ask him that question, but probably they weren't bold enough. Philip finally got bold and said, look, show us the Father already. All this Proverbs talking to us, all this, just show us the Father, and it will be sufficient unto us. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 14, turn to me. Turn with me to it. Verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient to him. Why did he say that? Because the previous verse, Jesus said, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him, and you have seen him. And he said, we haven't seen him. What are you talking about? Hello, folks. We haven't seen him. So I don't know what you're talking about. But Jesus said, you have seen him. So Philip said, look, he came right out and just said it. It was in the hearts of many of them, but Philip just said it. Look, just show us the Father plainly. And then, you know, we'll get it. You know, what is all this mystery? And Jesus said, and this is the question that I need to pose to people who are here today. Have I been with you all this long time and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? That's the question. All this time, more than 3 years, going in and out and so forth with you, and still you haven't known me. The same thing with people, come to church, do all of these things, hear all these messages and so forth, and still thou hast not known me. He that has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? When you are looking right at him. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There cannot be anything else plainer He that has seen me has seen the Father. Then why are you asking me to show you the Father? Look, if you think that, you know, because you think you know so much today, if you think that, look, why didn't Philip believe and so forth? If you were there, you probably would have said the same thing. It is only by the grace and mercy of God that you understand this.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And some people that even understand it, they look down narrowly on others that don't understand it. Folks, who are thou that maketh thee to differ from one another? Or what makes you to differ from one another? What is it that you have that you have not received? And if thou hast received it, wherefore can you boast? Nobody can understand God except be given to him from above.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And don't worry about it. God has a way of saving many people. Jesus gave the criteria. He said, he that believeth on the Son of Man has everlasting life. So God has many, many people. You know, it's not by your own measurement. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
Because it is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again.
Amen.
And God knows how to glean all those. He will lose. I will lose none of them.
Amen.
And I will raise them up at the last day.
Right.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
However he's going to get them, he will lose none of them. He knows what he's doing. He is the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So he said, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Notice that. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That's why he could say, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, some people say, you know, God is one in agreement and not one in number. The oneness of God is one in number.
Amen.
The Holy One means one in number, not just one in unity. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm right here. My wife's not here today. So if I tell you, you know, if you never knew my wife, and I'm standing right there, I say, you know, my wife and I are one, right? You know, that's what the Bible says. And if you've never seen my wife, you never knew my wife, can I really stand here and tell you that if you have seen me, you have seen my wife? I mean, that would be so silly. Your wife, I'm sure your wife doesn't have beard and sideburns and all these things, you know. So there is no way that you can say that unless it is so. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, so when he was saying it, he was saying it because it was so. And he said, look, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if you can't believe that, well, believe because of the works. And he told them so many things and he was trying to help them, you know. But, you know, sometimes they were confused. Sometimes they didn't understand until his resurrection and so on, you know. But he had mercy on them. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, let's go quickly here, you know, and cover some other things that people usually talk about and so forth, you know. Now, let me show you in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, when the angel, that's Luke 1, 35, when the angel came to Mary to announce the birth of Christ, here's what he said. And the angel answered unto her and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, now therefore is a conjunction. So you have to join the two sayings together. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called. Now, when somebody gives birth, it's either a son or a daughter, depending on the gender of the child. Is that true? So this one has to also be called the son of somebody, because he's born, for unto us a child is what? A child is born. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And I will read that next when I finish this. Therefore that which thing which is born of you shall also be called the Son of God. Well, I dare say to the people who deal in numbers and so forth like that, you know, and think that God, just because of these sayings and so forth, we forget that God is God. You know, just because of these sayings, we think that, well, that makes him different and so forth. God can do anything he wants.
Yeah.
The word can decide to come down and become flesh.
Yeah.
And he did. And we beheld his glory, they said. Praise the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, they said, well, you know, so he's the Son of God and so forth. Yeah, sure, he is the Son of God. And that holy thing will be called the Son of God, because it's not. But for those who like to deal in numbers, And let's talk of it in natural terms. Children and everybody, listen to me. By this scripture alone, we know, and other places we are told, that Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that? So by this scripture, we know that the Holy Ghost had to be his father. Are you still with me, folks? The person that has the pregnancy is the father of the child. I'm just using human terminology now. So if Mary was pregnated by the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost had to be the father of that child. Hallelujah!
Amen.
If you can't understand that, well, I don't know how else to say it. So that means Jesus would have two different fathers if the Holy Ghost was different from God. Praise the Lord. But the Holy Ghost is God. They don't know how to call him. They don't know what else to call him. That's why they call him Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. The eternal flame. Whatever you call him, he is the same. He is the one that moved upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. He moved upon the face of the waters. And he brought order out of that chaos. That's the Spirit of God. He's that creative force that went through all that and did all those things. And he's also called the Word of God. however you look at it, it's the same God walking in all those ways. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. And this is the one scripture that nobody can explain. Because he puts it all together. Unto us a child is born. We know that's Jesus. No question about that. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, the name of this son, which this angel announced to Mary, his name shall be called Wonderful. He will also be called Counselor. That sounds like the Holy Ghost to me. He is the Mighty God. But if that's not enough, he is the very everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. Give the Lord a hand clap for that, everybody. Praise the Lord. Yes, he is the everlasting Father. You say, how can the Son be the everlasting Father and the Son of and the Peace, the Prince of Peace and the Counselor? Because he is God. That's how he can be. If you don't think so, then you know, then it is not possible for you to have the Holy Ghost and for me to have the Holy Ghost and for millions of people around the world to have the Holy Ghost. If you don't think that God can do all those things and still be God and still be one. Praise the Lord. Or, for that matter, you know, when the Bible says that in Revelation chapter 5, after John cried, nobody could open the book and so forth, and he saw the Lamb. And he said the Lamb was slain. I mean, bloody and so forth. And he said it had seven eyes. Are you still with me? I said these seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. Does God have seven spirits? But he does have seven spirits because he says so. So, you see, there are seven spirits of God that are sent forth throughout the earth. You can't put God in numbers like that. You know, it could be seven spirits. It could be a million spirits if he wants, you know, and so forth like that. You know, he can still drop down, you know, into one human flesh, bodily and complete 100%. And remember, the Holy Ghost was not given to him by measure. Because the fullness was upon him. And how many of you even know that the Jews, they understand something, even though they didn't believe. See, they said, thou being a man, makes yourself God. Because when Jesus was telling them all these things in John chapter 6 through 8, and then especially in verse 8, chapter 8, he was telling them, you know, he said, you need to be free. They said, well, we are not in bondage. He said, you are in bondage if you serve sin. You know, and so forth. He said, well, we are not in bondage. He told them all these things and so forth. Then they told him. And then Jesus, you know, one time, when they were going about to kill him, he said, why do you people go about to kill me? They said, who goeth about to kill you? Now we know you have a devil. He said, all these wonderful works that I've shown you, which one are you killing me for? I mean, you know, why are you trying to kill me? He said, we don't try to kill you for any of these wonderful works, but in that you, being a man, makes yourself God. Are you still with me? Because the Father, he called himself God. And in fact, one time he told them in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Then they took up stones to kill him. That's it. We've had it. You know, this is nonsense. This is blasphemy. You know, and that's why they killed him, folks. Because he said, I and my Father are one. But you know, let me put it to you this way. One day, one of the well-learned men, you know, in Israel, his name was Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night, secretly. Didn't want people to know that he was coming. He asked Jesus all kinds of questions. Jesus told him this wonderful scripture that everybody quotes throughout the world. John 3:16. Told it to him. But before that, he told him something else too. When he was telling him that, you know, except a man be born again, he said, this man said, is he going to enter into his mother's stomach again and be born? And Jesus said, are you a master in Israel and you don't know these things? You don't even understand this? And listen to this, what he said. He said, look, if I have told you of earthly things and you don't believe, well, how are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now listen to this. Verse 11, John chapter 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and we testify, you know, that we've seen and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You know, I've told you, you know, just plain things you don't believe. How are you going to believe of heavenly? Now, let me tell you one heavenly thing right now. Praise the Lord. So he's going to tell him in the next verse, he's going to tell him something heavenly right now. Because, you know, he told him of these other things, you know, and he wondered. He said, look, and no man has ascended up to heaven at any time, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. If you can compute that, Jesus is standing right here talking to Nicodemus, and he's saying the Son of Man is in heaven. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There's no other way to look at it, folks. And here's another scripture that people argue. They say, well, when Jesus was being baptized, we heard a voice from heaven, and Jesus was there, and we saw the dove descend upon him, you know, as a spirit and so forth. So that makes three of them. Well, we don't deny the Father or the Son. Neither do we deny the Holy Spirit. But it's the one self-same Spirit. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And he can do all those things because he is God. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. If you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness that he has testified of his Son. What is the witness? Well, let's turn that to the few verses preceding that. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. The same chapter, just two verses before that. It's talking about the Son of God. Now, some of the Trinitarian doctrines, they actually claim that these two verses that I'm about to read were not in the original text, but that's not the truth. Everything that was added in the King James Version is written in italics, in case you don't know. Those of you that read King James, I read King James, so I love King James. King James is, as a matter of fact, the only thing that I will read, you know. But if you read King James and you get to any verse and you see anything written in italics, you know, that was added because they thought it would help the translation. If you take it out, that's fine. But there's nothing written in italics in this verse. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, this is, you're going to see the difference between one in number and one in unity. This verse 7 talks about one in number. The next verse talks about one in unity. Now, verse 8. What does verse 8 say? And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. So there's a difference between these three and one, and the three agree in one. So the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one. Now, why then is it one? Why then does it make it look like that? And what about Matthew chapter 28, where he talks about baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son? I've even heard people that pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I cannot find one single scripture for that say we should pray in the name of the Father Or we should pray in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. All things whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Hallelujah. That's how we pray. You know. Now, you say, well, why did he say that? Well, let's look at what he said then. In Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Because these are some scriptures that confuse people. Now, many of the older folks know these truths. They are not confused. But to help you younger folks in here. Now, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, so, you know, if we take this one scripture and say, well, because he said in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, you know, that means makes them separate three. Well, I don't even know how we can determine that from this scripture, because it did say baptizing them in the name, which is singular, the name of, it didn't say in the names of the Father, the names of the Son, and it, I mean, it didn't, you know, just one name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But what is that name? You know, that's the thing. What is the name of the Father? So before you answer that question, let us read what happened on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, you know, in verse 36, after Peter preached that wonderful sermon to them from verses 36 to 38, here's what happens. The people were, you know, pricked in their hearts and they wanted to know how, you know, how they can be saved and so forth. And he told them, look, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Christ, whom you have crucified, I mean this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. So he now told them in verse 38. They said, "What, men and brethren, what shall we do?" He gave them the answer. Here's what you need to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, some people say that this scripture contradicts Matthew 28:19. You know, and then one time somebody even told me, well, who are you going to believe? The one that Jesus said or the one that Peter said? And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All scripture.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, and you say, you know, but either one, you know, either one, they are saying exactly the same thing. First of all, you have to understand that scripture does not contradict itself. That means, you know, Matthew 28 and 19 equals Acts 2:38. That's what it means.
Amen.
Because if Jesus said one thing Matthew said, Jesus said, and Luke reported that Peter said, because somebody was arguing that, you know, Jesus said this one. I said, no, actually Matthew said that Jesus said. You know, so, and Luke said that Peter said, you know, so, but it is given by inspiration.
Amen.
That's right. So if Matthew 28:19 says it this way and Acts 2:38 says this way, then it means that those two scriptures must be the same. In fact, that's how the Lord explained it to me many, many years ago. And I realized that those two scriptures are actually the same. There's no argument about it. It means that the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what these two scriptures have to mean. They cannot contradict each other. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And throughout the Acts of the Apostles, I don't have time to show you all the examples, they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout! Before all those Nicene Council came in there and started to teach them about the, you know, name of the Father and this and that and so forth like that. You know, throughout the Bible, everywhere they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let me finish up quickly here with some few scriptures. You know, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, without any controversy.
Amen.
So there is no controversy about these things, folks.
Amen.
And we are not to argue this. I mean, it's in my heart to help the people, and I prayed about it much, that people will not see it as an argument, but I will just want to help the people. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There's no controversy about it, folks. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles who believed on in the world and received of the glory. This is the same God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In fact, you know, to believe in that is to have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5. This is the first epistle of John. Chapter 5 and verse 20. He puts it all together perfectly. Amen. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding.
Hallelujah.
That we may know him that is true.
Yeah.
And we are in him that is true.
Amen.
Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the true God and eternal life.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. You cannot, come on, everybody ought to be clapping. That's right. This is the true God and eternal life. You cannot find God any other way. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And you know, he did come as the Son of God. There is no question about that. You can't deny that either. But the angel already explained it, because he was born as a child. Unto us a child is born, and he was male. So he's a male child, so he's a son. He has to be the son of somebody. Whose son is it then? You know, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he's the Son of God. And but when he came back on the Isle of Patmos to visit John, he wasn't representing himself as Son of Man no more.
That's right.
Amen. Let's read those scriptures. You know, all the time when he was there and so forth, because he was the righteous servant. You know, he came on a mission. You know, and he was doing that mission. And Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11 tells us about it. All the things he did, you know, and so forth like that, you know, on his mission. But when he finished that mission, he said, it is finished. Praise the Lord. And when he came back to appear to John on the Isle of Patmos, it was a very different story. Listen to how he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1. He said in verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. Amen. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. You know, you say, well, we don't know exactly who was talking. Well, okay. So in verse 17, you know, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last. Not the second, and I'm not the third. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
Don't put words into the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Jesus never said he's the second. He said, I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. In case you are wondering who he was speaking. So we know that's Jesus. And behold, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
And I have the keys of hell and death.
Hallelujah.
But he said, Alpha and Omega. Now that is first and last. And I know one time I preached something like that in the church here, and I said first and last. And I'll say it again. If you are first and last, well, you know, if I tell everybody to file out of this room and I take note of the first person that left and I take note of the last person that left, if those two people, the first that left and the last that left, were the same, then there was only one person in the room. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
There's no way you can do it.
Amen.
I mean, there's many of us here now. So if the first person is also the last person, then there's only one person there.
Yeah.
There is no other way that you can do it. So Jesus being the first and the last makes him the one holy one of Israel.
Amen.
That's right. Not the second. You know, the devil has always been trying to take away from Christ. The whole scripture from Genesis to Revelation is about Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The kingdoms of this world finally become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. That is God's anointed place that he has chosen to put his name there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that's the way he chose to represent himself. You know, and that's who he is. Now, the first and the last makes him the same one person. But, you know, Jesus would tell them, you have to read this story. I don't have time to read the whole story in John chapter 8. But I couldn't say a message like this without touching on that. In John chapter 8, he was telling them all these things, which I referred to before. And as you go down to verse 51, I began to tell them, if any man keep my saying, you know, he will not die, and so on. And then they begin to say, are you kidding me? Who do you make yourself? Abraham and the prophets are dead. And you are saying that if any man keep my saying, are you greater than all these people? And Jesus told them something. He said, look, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. Hey! Abraham, you? God forbid bad thing. You are not yet even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know? Oh, wow. John chapter 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. He saw it a couple of times. Praise the Lord. Abraham met Melchizedek. Saw it that one time. Because Hebrews 7 will tell you this Melchizedek is without father and without mother, without beginning, without ending of days. But he abides like the Son of God forever. You know, so we know he saw his day right there. He also saw his day, you know, when he went over in Genesis and so forth like that, tried to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and so forth. And Abraham stood before him and all that. He said, and listen to what he told them. In verse 57, he said, you are not 50 years old. How could you possibly have seen Abraham? Abraham that died thousands of years ago. And Jesus said, put it off, verse 58. I love this part of it. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was. Now, only God can use that word, I am, or that phrase. And in fact, Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, at the burning bush, when the Lord sent him, he said, who should I say sent me? He said, you tell them, I am that I am.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when Jesus, he stood right there, he said, before Abraham was, I am.
Yes.
This I was. He quoted that same thing. The eternal flame. Yes. The self-existent one.
Yes.
I am. And at that time, they had it with him. They took up stones. That's it. Praise the Lord. But Jesus always said, look, if you are of God, you will hear my speech. You cannot hear, understand, because you are not of God. I pray that we understand God's word this morning, this evening, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Before Abraham was, I am. Let's stand to our feet here tonight. Now let that I am work a miracle for you tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. There are many other scriptures, but I'll leave it there. But I want to let you know that this Jesus is the very I am. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful note on which to close a teaching like this? You can go to anywhere, you will never find another one. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's right. He is the eternal one. And if you don't understand it all, don't worry about it. Just say, Lord, reveal thyself unto me. The reason people don't get anything is because their mind is already made up. I don't want to hear anything. They don't want to learn anything from the Lord. They just believe what they read and so forth like that. You know. But all these scriptures we have read tonight, you take Isaiah 9:6, you put it into the places in Revelation 1 and so forth, and you put it into this one here in John 8:58, and you do all of these things, there is no way you, at the end of it, you come out with only one result: that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the result. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord himself posed a question to them: why do the scribes call Christ the son of David? Because they did say he's the son of David. And he is the son of David. You know, of the throne of his father David, to sit upon it, to order it, and so forth. He shall be, and he shall be for no end. But Jesus would ask them, say, well, if he is the son of David, then how come David said, the Lord said to my Lord? How could David call him Lord if he was his son? And they couldn't answer him that. Well, because the Lord knows exactly what he is doing. I am the root and the offspring of David. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Before David was, he was already the root. And afterward, because of the plan of salvation, he came in that lineage as the offspring. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, if you have anything at all that you want the Lord to do for you, I don't even care if it's something that the doctors can't do. Doesn't matter if it is anything at all like that. By him who made all things, and through faith in his name, you will be healed tonight. Praise the Lord. And it may not be healing that you are believing God for. It may be something else. It doesn't matter. This is where the real power lies. It's in the oneness of the Godhead in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after tonight, nobody should be praying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all that stuff. Jesus said it himself. Ask the Father in my name. I will give it to you. And he will give it to you. And even Jesus turned around again and said, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. So sometimes you say, ask the Father. Sometimes you say, ask my name. Sometimes you say, ask me. You know, so, you know, no matter which way he does it, he reveals it to the elect. Still, no how. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. And he said, when the Holy Ghost is come, whom the Father will send in my name. In another place, he said, when the Holy Ghost is come, whom I will send to you. So you see, it's all the same. Praise the Lord. There is no way that you can, you know, twist it up. It is plain before the eyes of the elect of God by the grace of God. Let's lift up our hands and praise the name of the Lord today. I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go on. Those who believe are highly favored. I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. The song is on the screen. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go up. Those who believe are highly favored. I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go up. Those who believe are highly favored. I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated And for all those who believe are highly faithful, I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. Do you believe? I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go on. Those who believe are highly favored. I am the resurrection and the life. Amen.
Amen.
Believest thou this? He told her. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You call me Master and Lord, he said. And you say, well, for so I am. I am the first. I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. I am God alone, he said. I know not another. One of the few things that God doesn't know is another God. He doesn't know another God. And I don't think that the universe is big enough for two gods. There's only one God. And to us, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What do you call him? Some people call him Jesus Christ. Some people call him Wonderful Counselor. Some people call him the Mighty God. Others call him the Everlasting Father. Some people call him the Prince of Peace. Others call him, you know, Jehovah. Some people call him Jah. Others call him Yahweh. Some people call him Yeshua. Whatever name you call him, he is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. He cannot be the King of Kings if there is somebody else above him. He is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And God has given him a name. The eternal Godhead has given him a name that is highly exalted. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And I am going to take that name and pray a prayer tonight. Hallelujah. If you have any need whatsoever that you want the Lord to do for you, anything whatsoever, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to believe God together tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And God is going to make it worth your while for taking time to come to this meeting. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. If you need anything whatsoever, hallelujah. I want everybody lift your hand up. Trust in the name of the Lord right now. And let's believe the Lord together. I'm not even going to call a prayer line. But I'm going to ask the Lord to touch you where you are. And I want you to zero in on the thing that you are believing God for. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything that is too hard for me? The only things that God cannot do are things that we cannot believe for. Because God cannot walk where there is unbelief. But if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And if you shall ask anything in my name, you will receive it. And furthermore, he said, ask that your joy may be full. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. For the wisdom of God that is given unto us to understand this. For many prophets, kings and righteous men, even the apostles, they didn't understand it for a long time. But you have given us this. And even as you prayed, you said, I thank you, Father, because it pleased you to hide it from the wise, from the learned, from the scholars. From the polished, from the educated, from those that know the translations of the Bible and various things. Pleased you to hide it from them, but to reveal it unto babes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for revealing it unto us. Now, Lord, we take that name of Jesus. And by faith in his name, anything tonight that is here represented, we believe God. If you believe the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Whatever it is that you are believing God for, put it in the hands of the Lord right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't use any other name. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And let's see what the Lord will do for us. Lord, tonight, thank you. I am the Lord that confirmed the word of my servant, performed the counsel of my messengers, and frustrated the tokens of the liars. Now every lie that the devil has told you that it's not like that and so forth like that, it is a lie. Even the devil, he wanted to divide and conquer and make sure that God is, say, is God the only God? I will be like the Lord. I will be the most, I will do like this. And God said, you will go down to hell. Hallelujah. You will never be like the Most High. He stands alone in his league. There is none like him. Hallelujah. Praise God. While we sing that song one more time, Bra Ben, can you come up? And Sister Chioma. We're going to be closing with this song. You're highly lifted up. There's no one like you. Can get on the piano, please. As we sing this song, just believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. And anything that you are believing God for, and you can start singing that at any time. You are highly lifted up. Lift up your hands and worship.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.